Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are not now locked into another version of WKAR's Current Sports. It is Wednesday. Happy hump day, January 10, 2018. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. As always, we have a pretty entertaining hour in store for all of you out there as we tackle the sporting world here in mid-Michigan and beyond. So, what are we talking about, you ask? Well, I'll be glad to tell you. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about last night's nail-biter between the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team as they just fell to the Purdue Boilermakers inside of Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan. What happened in those final seconds that led to the Michigan loss? But a more elaborate question, because if you're like me and looked at that game logically as the Wolverines headed to play, of course, one of the best teams in the Big Ten Conference, I was just shocked that the Wolverines were able to stick close to Purdue, especially after being down double digits in both the first half and the second half. So how did John Beilein, as well as the Wolverines, how were they able to stay close in that game? And what does it say as the Wolverines now look forward to traveling right here to the campus of Michigan State University to take on the Michigan State men's basketball team? That's right. It is rivalry week, and that game will ensue between the Wolverines and Spartans on Saturday at noon. But before we talk about that matchup, of course, Michigan State will be in action, looking to put the wheels back on the track after a loss on the road at Value City Arena in Columbus, Ohio, against the Ohio State Buckeyes, looking to put the wheels back on the track against a lowly Rutgers team. However, I must say, though, Rutgers is no longer one of those teams that you kind of look at and say, all right, that's an easy dub. Rutgers has been competitive so far this season, all right? So Michigan State Rutgers tonight at the Breslin Center. We will also give away a pair of tickets to check out that matchup tonight. Find out how you can win in just a moment. We will also get to the news of Hunter Rison deciding to leave the Michigan State football program. Shocking stuff, right? Hunter Rison, highly touted receiver, had a decent season in his freshman campaign for Mark D'Antonio's team, but according to his father, Andre, a Michigan State legend, heck, a Michigan sporting legend in the state of Michigan, Andre Rison just saying basically that his son believed that he should have gotten more touches. He wants more playing time. So with that being said, he's chucking up the deuces, as Chris Brown would say. And also, very excited about our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Zach Berridge. You see him each and every evening on WILX TV 10. He is a sports reporter and anchor for WILX TV 10. And Zach is going to join us on the show to talk about the retirement of a pretty big name locally here in high school sports. Pretty shocking news when it comes to this individual deciding to hang up the whistle. And he'll also give us a recap of last night's high school basketball sporting action in girls and boys hoops. So you don't want to miss that. Then on the back end of the show, I told you we'll get to this ESPN year in review. You don't want to miss that chat. It's going to be an interesting dialogue centered around the worldwide leader in sports. And we'll preview, of course, the Michigan State and Rutgers game. So, as always, our plate runneth over. A ton to get to. You can be a part of the fun. Numerous ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports. The live stream is up and running. You can comment below the video. I'll do my best to get to your comments at some point throughout this hour. And you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Hey, engineer Ian Hawley, let's hit him with our current sports quick hit headliners. We start with the Michigan men's basketball team. It was a barn burner last night at Chrysler Center out in Ann Arbor after trailing number 5 Purdue for the first, 35 minutes of the game. The Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team really fought back to take the lead, but ultimately fell short of the Boilermakers in a 70-69 setback on Tuesday night at Chrysler Center. The Wolverines are now 9-1 at home this season. The Wolverines have 4 players score in double figures. Sophomore Xavier Simpson, he had 15. Juniors Charles Matthews had 14. And Mo Wagner had 11. And freshman Isaiah Livers had 10. Simpson matched a career high in scoring and grabbed a career high 6 rebounds. Livers scored in double figures for the 3rd straight game. Next up, Michigan will travel to East Lansing to face off against rival Michigan State this Saturday afternoon. The game is scheduled for a noon tip-off and will be broadcast live on Fox. We'll have more on the Michigan fall to Purdue from last night in just a moment. Now, after clawing from behind for nearly 3.5, nearly the entire second half, the Central Michigan men's basketball team gave themselves a chance in the closing minute to steal a win from Eastern Michigan University. Instead, it was the Eagles, 10-6, 1-3 in MAC play. Leading scorer, redshirt junior Elijah Minnie, stealing an inbound pass to steal the game with authority, jamming it down and giving EMU a 79-74 victory last night. Now, the loss would mark the first losing streak of the season for Central, 12-4, 1-2 in conference, and move them to 1-4 on the road this season. The Chips will return to Mount Pleasant for a Saturday meeting with Toledo at 4:30 p.m. All right, Michigan State men's basketball team. Yeah, they return to action at home tonight to the friendly confines at the Breslin Center, hosting Rutgers in a Big Ten Conference game. Tip-off slated for 7 p.m. This will be the first of 3 straight home games for the Spartans. This is the second meeting of the season between Michigan State and Rutgers. The Spartans won the first game. It wasn't easy, though, 62-52 last month in New Jersey. Michigan State leads the all-time series between the teams 6-0 and has won the only 2 meetings in EL. Now, Rutgers enters the game with an 11-6 overall record, including a 1-3 mark in the Big Ten Conference, following a 64-60 win over Wisconsin on Sunday. Again, you can't just check off Rutgers now this season, right? The Scarlet Knights lead the Big Ten in scoring defense, only allowing 60.9 points per game. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the University of Michigan football team, he is due a pay raise this week, believe it or not. Now, while 2 of his top assistants are in line for 6-figure retention bonuses, just money flying everywhere when it comes to U of M college football, right? Thursday marks the day Harbaugh, who enters his 4th year as head coach at Michigan, he is due a 10% boost for his yearly compensation. Now, according to the terms of his contract, Jimmy Boy will earn a 10% raise on his $500,000 a year salary, and more lucratively, a 10% raise on his $4.5 million in additional compensation, which is, you know, which pertains to media obligations, public appearances, etc. Now, that means Harbaugh, who signed a 7-year contract in December of 2014 that paid him $5 million a year over the first 2 years, he is set to make $5.5 million this year. Let that sink in for a man who hasn't even been to the Big Ten championship game. $5.5 million this year. Unbelievable stuff. I have more on that later on this hour. Michigan running back Aron Higdon. He plans to keep the NFL draft on hold and return for his senior season. Higdon, who led the Wolverines with a team-high 11 rushing touchdowns, he made his intentions known with a text message to the Detroit Free Press today. Quote, after speaking with my family, I have decided that I'm going to return for my senior year, end quote. 5'10", 190-pound Higdon wrote in that text, he rushed for 994 yards on 164 carries this past season. He enjoyed his finest performance with a 200-yard, 2-TD effort against Minnesota. Chris Evans was second on the team in rushing with 685 yards for Michigan, which opens its 2018 season at Notre Dame come September 1st. Peter King of Monday Morning QB is reporting he's heard Matt Patricia is the choice over Mike Vrabel in Detroit. But Patricia favors the Giants' job in New York instead. And there was a separate report from the New York Daily News that says all signs point to Patricia, who is, of course, an assistant coach for the New England Patriots right now, heading to the Giants. Patricia interviewed for both jobs last week, as well as the one in Arizona. He's a hot coaching commodity because of his 14 years alongside Bill Belichick in Foxborough, the last five of which he served as D coordinator, and his units allow fewer than 20 points per game in each of the last 4 years. Pretty impressive stuff. They allowed the fifth fewest points in the league this past regular season, despite obvious personnel deficiencies. So Matt Patricia, he is leaning towards the job in NYC. Only time will tell what happens with that situation. All right, Mark Stein of the New York Times, citing league sources, reported Tuesday that the Detroit Pistons have expressed interest to the Chicago Bulls in acquiring big man Nikola Mirotic. Now, according to the report, the Utah Jazz are also interested in Mirotic. He is 26 years old, a 6'10" forward. He is averaging a little over 17 points per game, 7 boards for the Bulls. He is playing on a 1-year contract for $12.5 million. There's a team option also for $12.5 million for 2018-19. Now, according to Stein, the Bulls are looking to get a high draft pick, likely a first rounder, in return for Mirotic. Though the Pistons could counter with some projections, I should say, on what level the pick might be. Now, Pistons coach and president Stan Van Gundy did not comment on that trade rumor specifically, but acknowledged the Pistons are looking at some options because of the injuries to Reggie Jackson and John Luer. And last but not least, the Detroit Tigers announced on Tuesday they have agreed to terms with 6 players on minor league contracts for the upcoming season. Of the 6, catcher Brian Pena and infielder Pete Cosma were invited to the Tigers' major league spring training camp. The other 4 players, right-handed pitchers Felipe Almonte and Arbindy Rodriguez, left-handed pitcher Leivares Brito, and outfielder Herlis Rodriguez. Pena spent the entire 2017 season at AAA Omaha in the Royals organization. He hit .274 with 3 doubles, 15 RBIs in 38 games. He played 12 seasons in the majors, including 2013 with the Tigers. Cosma, 29 years old, he hit .111 in 28 games with the Rangers and .111 in 11 games with the New York Yankees last season. He has hit .215 in 314 career games in the majors. He can play shortstop, second base, or third. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. The live stream is up and running. You can comment right there, and I'll do my best to get your comments throughout this hour. And you can even tweet us. Tweet the show officially at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And that is how we start this Wednesday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. I really hope you all are having a great week out there. A lot going in the sporting world here in mid-Michigan and across the nation, for that matter. A lot going on, I must say. But happy Wednesday. So glad you guys have locked in WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, whether you're listening on the radio, in your car driving, at home, or if you're watching via Facebook.com/Current Sports. We really appreciate the support. Happy Wednesday, Ian Hawley, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Ian, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, sir. Classes are going well this first week back at school. It's weird to be back on campus, honestly, after being not a student for like 8 months, you know, over the summer and then this fall. So, but it's good to be back, you know. It's that old familiar feeling, and East Lansing is a great place to be this time of year.
Yeah, it's got, I didn't even think about that. It's got to be kind of crazy for you, because you actually did a study abroad where you worked for, well, you interned at a station in Australia, right?
Yeah, a little community station there.
Exactly. So you were out the country that extended amount of time, then you came back, didn't take any classes here on campus last semester.
Correct.
And now you're back here, back on campus, and you're back at it. How's that feel, man? I mean, how many? And you're taking something like 16 credits, right?
Yeah. I got a loaded semester because I'm trying to graduate on time at the end of the spring here. Mm-hmm. And then I think I have to take one more class over the summer, but they still let me walk at graduation. So, you know, mom's happy.
Oh, I'm sure. There's nothing like, oh, you say, if I had to choose, because I didn't have the choice, the option to, you know, I didn't graduate early where I had the option of walking in December or May. But I always feel like May graduations are just, they have a different feel, a better feel, I feel like, because not only do you have colleges, you know, graduating and walking across the stage, but you have high schools, you got, you know, they have middle school graduations, right? Middle school graduations going on. I mean, everybody graduates.
Oh, yeah.
Like around May, right?
It's graduation season.
It's graduation season. So, but yeah, good luck to you, man. 16 credits as well as holding down the fort here behind the glass.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that.
Definitely. Good seeing you, Ian. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to. I want to start with the Michigan men's basketball game from last night. I tell you what, this is a Michigan Wolverines team that showed a lot of grit, a lot of fight. They did not go down easy. It was just a one-point loss for Coach Beilein's Wolverines last night. And I think it sent a message. I must say this. I think it did send a message to the rest of the Big Ten that the Michigan Wolverines are going to compete and man up against the big dogs in the Big Ten Conference. And it's remarkable because, you know, every year I feel like when we're heading into a new Big Ten men's basketball year, every year I'm reading these different previews about, you know, John Beilein's team and how Beilein's team is good. It isn't great. You know, they may make the tournament. They may not. Who knows if they'll even finish in the top four of the Big Ten Conference. You know, we've seen that dialogue read at least the past 3 years now. But it just seems like, you know, it's a true testament. You guys know, our longtime listeners know how big of a fan I am of John Beilein, because I think he's a great basketball mind. He finds ways to inspire his troops. He's not a big yeller. You know, you won't find him, you know, in contrast to Tom Izzo. You see Tom Izzo just losing his mind, getting in the faces of his players, breaking clipboards. I mean, he's intense on the sidelines. Now, John Beilein has his moments, but for the most part, you know, he's cooler than the other side of the pillow, to steal the line from the great Stuart Scott, the late great Stuart Scott from ESPN, right? John Beilein is usually cool, calm, and collected on the sidelines, and he's very, you know, he orchestrates his team in a way that's kind of like a grandfather figure. You know, he's going to tell you what to do, how to do it. If you mess up, he's going to get in your business. But it's not like he's going to curse you out, and, you know, you won't see him, you know, just going off and having high blood pressure, right? I love John Beilein. You know, the first time I interviewed him happened to be when I was at WLNS TV6, and I got a chance to do a one-on-one spot with him in about, that was like April of 2013, and I scheduled a one-on-one, just like 7-minute sit-down with Coach Beilein, courtesy of Michigan Athletics. And I never forget, I never met John Beilein before, and he walks in the room, he knew my name, he knew where I worked, and he acted like he knew me since I was a toddler. He's like, how you doing, man? I know you're doing a good job over there. How's the job? Are you liking it? You know, it was amazing. He's such a great personality, and, you know, just John Beilein is one special dude, despite where you fall on the whole Michigan and Michigan State rivalry. I know Spartan fans, he is a Michigan man. He coaches the U of M men's basketball program, but it is really hard not to like John Beilein. And, you know, he's a good basketball coach. He's one of the most clever minds, I think, in the nation. But, you know, you look at that game last night, and I really think it speaks to that very statement. I mean, Purdue came out on fire from three, making 7 of their 10 attempts in the first half. They actually finished the game shooting 57% from deep. If somebody would have told me that Purdue was going to be that hot from beyond the arc, I would have said, oh, my goodness, Michigan at least gets blown out by 25 points. No way they make this a close one. But indeed, they did. And, you know, you look at the dynamics of this Purdue offense, and this is what puts it in the conversation of a Big Ten championship contender. I mean, you have so much firepower on that offense. That does include big man Isaac Haas, who's over 7 feet. He looks like Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. I mean, the dude is just so built, cut, chiseled. He is a load in the paint. And at the end of the day, that is what nipped Michigan from winning that game. You know, the call on Mo Wagner, and I'm looking at our Facebook page right now. I'm seeing a comment from Ben Grimes. He says, Al, what do you think of the last two calls in that Michigan and Purdue game last night? Well, I tell you what, the call that lost in the game was the Mo Wagner, they call it a hook, in which he came around Isaac Haas as Isaac was trying to, you know, corral an inbounds pass. Well, I should say a pass down low to him, and Mo Wagner came around. And at first, when I saw it live, I said, that is a horrible call. Ref, you're really going to have the game decided on a call like that? And then they showed the replay. Thank goodness for instant replay, right? They showed the replay, and you can exactly see what the ref saw. At first, I thought Mo Wagner came around the body of Isaac Haas clean with minimal contact, and I think you can still argue that to a certain degree. But when you look at Mo Wagner's right arm, that right arm seemed to just hug the waist of Isaac Haas. And we all know how college basketball is, especially when it comes to physical play down low. If the referee sees that, if they see an arm hugging the hip of a player as that defender tries to come around and deflect the basketball, they are going to call that each and every time. So at the end of the day, thought the refs did their job. Thought it was a good call. John Beilein, the classy guy that he is, I mean, he did not let his emotions get the best of him. He was asked directly after whether or not he thought the call was a fair one. Fair question. Obvious question that you're going to ask as a journalist in that moment, right? And John Beilein basically, you know, kind of said, well, you know, I have to look at it. I don't know. The referees are doing their job. I got to look at the replay and then, you know, make my determination from there. So I'm curious if there is Michigan men's basketball media availability today. I'm curious to see what head coach John Beilein thinks after watching the replay. I thought it was a good call. Isaac Haas, he ends up splitting the two free throws. And, you know, we saw a really, really good look from, you know, just beyond the half court line. I believe it was Charles Matthews who had that potential game winning shot that hit the rim. You know, it banks off and game over. Michigan loses by 1 point. But, you know, Isaac Haas, I mean, you know, he was a load last night for the Michigan Wolverines and Mo Wagner. And again, if you look at weaknesses for this Michigan men's basketball team, we've seen a lot this year. Mo Wagner have trouble guarding big men down in the paint because Mo he's not a real physical player. He's a bit undersized. He struggles guarding big men down in the paint. And when you have 7 feet Isaac Haas, I mean, that's a handful. He just couldn't do a lot with him. So, you know, and then you saw Michigan wake up from behind the arc in the second half. Charles Matthews, as I mentioned, Isaiah Livers, reigning Michigan Mr. Basketball, and Xavier Simpson. They would all score multiple three-pointers in the second half during the Wolverines' comeback attempt. And we saw the Wolverines come back not once but twice when they were down by double digits in the first and the second half. That is absolutely remarkable. And it shows the resilience of this Michigan men's basketball team. You know, Michigan could have very well just crawled up and said, oh, Purdue's better than us. We just can't do anything. No, they kept crawling, they kept fighting, and they made this thing a game. It was very entertaining to watch. When it comes to point totals for the team, as I mentioned in our headliners, we saw Xavier Simpson. He had 15 on the night. Matthews, 14. Wagner, 11. And then Isaiah Livers came off the bench to chip in 10 points. Jordan Poole also had 8 points. As far as Purdue is concerned, we saw Edwards lead the team, and you know Edwards is a really good player. Carson Edwards led the team with 19 points. Then Hayes behind him with 17. Matthews had 14, and then Edwards had 10. Just 4 bench points for the Purdue Boilermakers. But yes, Michigan lost. But again, Purdue, this is a top 5 team in the nation, maybe even better than that. And Michigan almost took them down after being outclassed for most of the first half. And what we're seeing with the Wolverines, new players stepping up every night. Last night, it was Xavier Simpson, who would be the surprise leader, to be honest with you. I mean, 15 points for him. He had 6 boards as well, 5 assists. Matthews would finish with 14 points, 7 boards, and Wagner, as I mentioned, 11.6 boards for him. And then the play of the freshmen, Livers and Jordan Poole, the two combined for 18 points and continue to be really critical pieces for Michigan off the bench. Beilein said that Livers did a tremendous job on Carson Edwards and that was one of the reasons why he played for almost 30 minutes in that game last night. It was a great matchup as both of those freshmen went head-to-head. To see the freshmen go head-to-head with Purdue senior, I should say. And it was a great matchup to see just those guys compete. And both Michigan players continue to see more and more playing time as they get more comfortable with the scheme, and their coach has a lot of confidence in them, that being Isaiah Livers and Jordan Poole. And, you know, now Michigan, you know, is looking to shrug off a heartbreaking loss because they have another big test against Michigan State Saturday at noon at the Breslin Center. And I mentioned how Mo Wagner has struggled with guarding big men in the paint. And I think overall Michigan has had trouble with that this season so far. But now you look at a guy like Nick Ward. Nick Ward, who was coming off a poor performance on the road at Ohio in front of his hometown peeps. Nick Ward is going to come out with a vengeance, not only tonight against Rutgers. I expect a big game for Nick Ward tonight against Rutgers, but also, you know, in-state rival Michigan, you know, the place is going to be rocking. It's always, you know, throw the records out the window anytime Michigan and Michigan State get together, no matter what sport it is. But Nick Ward, you know, Michigan has troubles already with guarding big men in the paint. Boy, oh boy, they're going to have a handful yet again with Nick Ward, who has been pretty consistent for Michigan State so far this season. But don't sleep on Michigan. This is going to be a team that is going to push a lot of squads to the brink in the Big Ten Conference. And Ian, I was very impressed with what they were able to do last night.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It's hard when Purdue goes on a shooting run like that to try and get something going. I thought Michigan, like you said, they never quit on the game. They gave it their all. It's hard against, I mean, 2 huge 7-foot guys in the center, and when they're making shots like that, it's tough to try and win a game, but they did a good job of scrapping their way back in it.
What impresses you the most? I mean, when you look at this Michigan team and you look at the production of different players, what impresses you the most, and how exactly did you evaluate that comeback and what led to the comeback? What makes Michigan a team that's going to be competitive this season?
I think it speaks to their character as a team. Michigan has had some troubles in the past. You know, they had that plane crash. What was it, last year, I believe?
What a year that was. How crazy was that last year? I mean, heading to the Big Ten tournament, yeah, the plane skidded off the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they go to the Big Ten tournament, and they're wearing their practice unis of all things, right? And they just showed, you talk about grit, they showed a lot of grit and resilience, and they end up going to the Big Ten championship game, Big Ten tournament championship game, and winning it all.
Exactly.
Remarkable story. But yeah, I mean, that's been a testament of coaching, right? That's John Beilein for you, right?
Yeah, he's just whipping his kids into shape. I mean, it doesn't matter who he's got out on the floor. John Beilein has conditioned them to a point where they're going to give it their all every time they're out there. So the lack of depth might be a problem for Michigan later in the season, but I mean, they're going to be a tough team to beat night in and night out in the Big Ten this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the young pups and Isaiah Livers and Jordan Poole can give them production, consistent production like we saw from last night, you know, 18 points off the bench, and Isaiah Livers and Jordan Poole combined for those 18 points, 10 from Livers and 8 from Jordan Poole. But we know we saw all five starters get in the scoring column. Muhammad Abdul Rahman, he had seven. I mentioned Simpson, 14. Simpson, 15. Matthews, 14. And Wagner, 11. Looking to see if Duncan Robinson can get out of, he was only 1 for 4 from the floor last night. We'll see if he can rebound against Michigan State on Saturday. But from top to bottom, I like this Michigan team. And, I was really looking close when watching that game against Purdue because, again, after tonight, that's who Michigan State will play on Saturday. And I think we are in store for a treat come Saturday afternoon. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I will address the Hunter Rison transfer story. News that really came out of nowhere as Andre Rison, who was on the team 92-1, during an interview with Jack Ebling, he announced that his son would be transferring. He feels as though he's not getting enough touches. He wants more playing time. I'll address that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. And right now, why not? Let's give away the pair of tickets right now, Ian. You know, each and every Michigan State men's basketball home game throughout the year, we are giving away a pair of tickets to check out your MSU men's basketball team. We make you earn them here on WKAR's Current Sports, though. And today's trivia question is, and I kind of gave this away actually at the beginning of the show during our quick hit headliners. Of course, Michigan State will welcome Rutgers to the Breslin Center tonight at 7 p.m. What is the all-time series record between Michigan State and Rutgers on the hardwood? Again, what is the all-time series record between the two teams, Michigan State and Rutgers on the hardwood? If you call in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you call in with the correct answer, guess what? You're checking out your Michigan State men's basketball team tonight. Good luck to you all. And right now, while you all are blowing up our phone lines, I do want to address the Hunter Rison story that really has a lot of Michigan State Spartans a bit surprised, shocked, disappointed, whatever term you want to use, right? You're not happy about this move. But wide receiver Hunter Rison, he is expected to leave Michigan State, and he came out and confirmed that after his father, former Spartans All-American Andre Rison, on Monday, he told the Drive with Jack radio show on the team 92-1 in Lansing that his son will transfer after playing in 12 games as a true freshman in 2017. Andre said this, quote, "He told me that he appreciates everything that Michigan State's football program and coaches have done for him, and he wants to play more, and he feels he's just as good as the guys that are playing in front of him." Again, Andre, he made those comments, and then Hunter came out and confirmed that he thanked the Michigan State football program for all they've done, but he wants to play more. So he's got two options. He can transfer to another D1 school. He will have to sit out a year and then get back on the gridiron, or he can transfer to a D2, D3, JUCO program, who knows, and then be eligible to play immediately. And then if he does that, we assume that Hunter will probably then transfer to a D1 program and then get back on the football field there. So this is shocking news because, you just really did not expect Hunter. And I really, Hunter, great kid. You know, Ian, every time that I interviewed Hunter, he's so personable. He reminds you a lot of his father. He's a great athlete as well. And I tell you what, he was very productive as soon as he entered games. I mean, heck, we all saw the production that, from Felton Davis III, right? I mean, he was really the swan of that Michigan State wide receiver core. And then Cody White, he also was very efficient and productive as a receiver for Michigan State this past year. But anytime Hunter would come into the game and enter the game, you know, it was like Lewerke would go right to him, and it's not like he needed a few throws to warm up. Hunter was an instant spark plug coming off the sideline for Michigan State, and he was very productive multiple times throughout this year. And I just feel like when you read those comments from Andre Rison and you read the reasoning as to why Hunter wants to leave the program, and you hear Andre say, quote, he wants to play more. He feels he's just as good as the guys that are playing in front of him. It really speaks to, and I'm not saying every millennial has this mindset, but most do, Ian. Heck, we're both millennials, so I think you know where I'm going here. When it comes to the road of success, so many of our generation want to be the guy right now. So many people don't look at the work that you got to put in if you want to eventually become the man or the woman who is killing the game in whatever profession we're discussing here.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't look at the work that is put in and the stripes that you have to earn. I mean, heck, just to talk about my story. I mean, it's not like I graduated from Michigan State University and I walked across that stage in May of 2012 and immediately got a radio gig here at WKAR or immediately got on the air at Channel 6 News. Heck, I had 8 internships when I was at Michigan State University. I had no life my junior and senior years. I remember I interned at Channel 6 for 2 years, and most of my days spent at Channel 6 were going on shoots with Lisa Byington and Pat Tiedi and learning how to shoot video, learning how to edit video, making mistakes and the videos out of focus and getting reprimanded for it, and then putting the wrong name in scripts for Fred and having Uncle Fred say, you got to get your names right, Al. Writing phonetically names in the teleprompter for Fred and getting those wrong from time to time. Writing scripts, editing video, doing stand-ups and looking like just a stiff board on camera and finding out how to loosen up. I learned these things while putting in work and realizing that I got a long way to go if I do want to get on the level of a Fred, of a Lisa Byington. And, you know, there's work that you got to put in. But so many, especially athletes, you know, who come from decent backgrounds and programs where they're throwing up these big numbers. I mean, Hunter Rison was a fantastic receiver when he was out in A-squared. Fantastic. Great athlete, Mr. Do-It-All. He was the guy. Now you come in your freshman year and you see your minutes in comparison to other receivers, like a Felton Davis, like a Cody White. You look at those minutes and, yeah, you may feel some type of way. But at the same time, you got to keep in perspective that you are a freshman, dude. Your ceiling is so high. Hunter had a good year. So the fact that he wants to transfer due to playing time, due to feeling as though he's just as good or even better than the guys who are getting more throws and getting more minutes than him, to me, I think Hunter is going to regret this.
I would agree.
I think he'll look back at this and say, gosh darn it, if I would have just stuck around. I truly believe that, and you know Mark D'Antonio's program, we see so many players that aren't expected to have big years come out of nowhere and are really efficient. I thought Hunter was going to be one of those guys next season. He was so good, and like I said, he would come into games and immediately, you know, catch a crossing route for 5 yards that led to a first down, or immediately, you know, score on a Lewerke pass to the end zone. I mean, he was very effective when he entered games. Sky's the limit. I'm very shocked at this, though, and it is a bit disappointing for Spartan fans out there, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, he was at his father's alma mater. You know, he had grown up in kind of the athletic shadows of Michigan State lore.
Right.
And then he comes here. You're right. He was a fantastic receiver. And really, he had one more year until Felton Davis is gone. And then Daryl Stewart, he may or may not stay after his junior season. So it depends on how that goes this year. But the sky was the limit. You're right. I mean, he had everything in front of him set up to be one of the top two, if not the top receiver, by the time he was a senior here.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand why he was so upset. I mean, everybody wants to be famous, but nobody wants to put the work in, you know?
Right.
A lot of kids are, especially people my age, they see people on social media, like, and they get jealous of their status or
their ego
possessions.
Trip.
Yeah, it's a whole ego trip, yeah.
It really is. So, and, you know, Andre said that his son is, quote, too talented to just waste a freshman year and could have redshirted if he was not going to be used more. And then you heard Andre, I don't know if you heard the interview, but then Andre goes on to say, you know, he basically critiqued the MSU coaches for using tight ends and running backs at the slot receiver position on third downs instead of Hunter. He goes on to say, quote, we know we can play on that level. I think he proved it, but he needs to be out there more. He needs to be playing more. He needs to be more involved in the offense, not sitting on the sidelines for continuous week after week after week after week after week. And yes, he said after week that many times. Then he goes on to say, when the coach is telling him, he needs to find ways to play him. So, yeah, we saw Cody White, he emerged as MSU's number three receiver, and he set a school record for a true freshman, 490 yards, 4 TDs, 35 catches. That was alongside top targets, junior Felton Davis, and sophomore, as you mentioned, Ian, Daryl Stewart. And it looked like Rising was going to move ahead of second-year sophomore Tristan Jackson and redshirt freshman Cam Chambers as MSU's number four wideout. But now we're going to look at this and say, what could have been for Andre Rising Hunter Rising in a green and white jersey. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We do have a caller on line one that wants to take a stab at our trivia question to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as Tom Izzo's troops will welcome Rutgers to the Breslin Center. And our trivia question, again, I'll just remind our listeners out there, is what is the all-time series record between Michigan State and Rutgers on the hardwood? This is a gimme. This is a layup. Ben Grimes is on line one. Ben, what is the answer, my friend?
I'm going to say it's 6-0 all-time.
Enjoy the game tonight, Ben. You know that, my friend. Stay on the line and talk to Ian. You'll find out how you can pick those tickets up. Thank you so much for listening, Ben.
Yep.
All right. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Zach Barrage of WILX TV 10. Zach will talk some high school hoops. An entertaining night when it comes to girls and boys high school hoops last night, including the end of a long winning streak for Steve Fenimore and the East Lansing boys basketball squad. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we just finished up elaborating on the whole Hunter Rising transferring situation, and we talked some college hoops. And by the way, college hoops has been just so unpredictable so far this season, right? It's been entertaining to watch. If you have not been watching college basketball, it's been insane. As you Spartan fans know, number one MSU lost by 16 at unranked OSU on Sunday. Number one Villanova lost on the road on December 30th at unranked Butler. That was a 101-93 loss for Nova as they trailed by actually like 23 points at one point in that game. Surprising teams this year, Arizona State, which got up to number three, dropped a bit but playing very competitive. Then you have teams like Virginia, Texas Tech, Clemson, Auburn, who all began the day yesterday with just one loss. Auburn has won 12 games in a row now. How about that? Doing it without two players who are involved in the whole FBI college basketball probe. Oklahoma played Texas Tech last night. Trae Young lighting up the NCAA. You got players like LeBron James and Steph Curry tweeting about Trae Young. Texas Tech is actually where his dad played. I don't know if you guys saw this, but when Trae was asked why he didn't attend Texas Tech to follow in the footsteps of his dad, he said, quote, I just think they need more talent. Sorry, I'm just being honest. I just want to win. Shots fired, right? A lot of emotion in the building as Trae Young in Oklahoma took on Texas Tech last night. Young in the first half, he was just 1 of 12 from the floor. He admitted that he did let the emotion of the game get to him a bit. Texas Tech had a point to prove in that first half, but the second half, he goes off 22 points, 6 of 11 from the floor, 27 total. And I was particularly impressed with the, because I caught that game, I was really impressed with the defense of Oklahoma. Young noted how the defense was a big factor. And then we saw West Virginia versus Baylor last night as well, as West Virginia picks up a win there in a sloppy game. Not a pretty game for WV, but they got the win nonetheless. So very entertaining year in college hoops. All right, let's talk high school basketball now, or high school sports in general, with our dear friend of the show, Mr. Zach Beerge of WILX TV 10. Zach Attack, how you doing, my man?
I'm a dear friend. That's very nice.
You
of
are.
You.
I mean, anytime you've been on the show more than once.
It's been a few weeks, hasn't it?
It has.
We got a lot to talk about, though.
The last time we talked with you, I think it was like football season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was football, but you know, you get those breaks in between, so.
Exactly, right? And I want to start with football, actually, because yeah. I know I saw on your Twitter yesterday that you got a chance to chat with Dan Bogan, now former head football coach at Lansing Sexton. Dan Bogan deciding to hang it up, and I'm curious, what was that conversation like, and how did you get the news that Dan was going to hang up the whistle, so to speak?
Yeah, he texted Tim Stout first, I think, just because they've got a long-standing relationship. I think Tim covered him when he played in high school, and so they've had a very good relationship, and then kind of an extension I have as well, just through there, you know, Well, you've done the same. We've interviewed him countless times in our time here.
Love Dan, right?
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite coaches, man.
Yeah, and you know, I went into that talk with him, and I almost, not somber, but like, man, it's an end of an era. But at the end of it, I told him congrats. I was like, this is great. You know, you do something for so long, and you're successful at it. And, you know, he was very, you know, it's tough to talk about when you love something and you realize it's time to move on from it. But, yeah, like I said, I said congrats at the end, and it was kind of weird saying that, but I mean, it's huge, and he's got other things that he wants to do and accomplish. And I think mainly he said his focus is time on being the administrator, because he is still going to be sticking on as the assistant principal.
Exactly.
I believe. Yeah. And
assistant principal. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for football. He said he's going to finish out the year as the head track coach, and after that he's done coaching as you know, for now.
When talking with Dan, Zach, did he give the reasoning behind it, of course, we all want to know that. But also, when did he know that, okay, I think I'm going to retire and walk away from the program? When was that moment? When did that moment come to fruition for him?
It's one of those things that I think you hear from a lot of guys as they get on in their careers. They say they get to a point where they start assessing their career and their path that they want to take at the end of each season. And he said he started doing that maybe 5-6 years ago. And so he's kind of been getting done with a year, reassessing it, and asking himself something along the lines of, do I still have the energy and the love to do this? I mean, and as he said, this is the first time that he couldn't definitely answer yes. So,
wow.
I mean, you got to respect, you know, the ability to know when it's up.
Exactly.
So,
and he's been a coach there, I believe, for like 20 plus years, something like that?
I think 16 for football.
16 for football. And I'm curious, he's not in the greater Lansing area Sports Hall of Fame yet, right?
No, you got to think that would change. I'm not sure what the stipulations are for that. Do you have to be
it's a good question.
Yeah, I think that's kind of when you start getting looked at. You know, Bob Every would know more about that than you know, he'd be a difficult name to ignore whenever those talks start up again.
For sure. He's a shoo-in, right? You got to think that, right?
Yeah.
Again, we're talking with Zach Beerge of Channel 10 News here in East Lansing, WILX TV 10 sports reporter and anchor. All right, Zach, let's talk some boys and girls high school basketball action. You know, I caught the highlights last night of East Lansing falling. You know, this long win streak. What, 40-plus game win streak coming to an end at the hands of Grand Ledge at home, I might add, as well, at East Lansing High School. The comments really stunning everybody. I saw the students rush the court and everything. I mean, you look at that win streak, and can you kind of just put it in perspective, and just how good do you believe this Grand Ledge boys basketball team, how good do you think they can be this season?
Grant, you know what? I've only seen them twice this year, and I wasn't at the game last night. I'm surprised. I mean, they've got players. They do.
Right.
You know, Luke Smith, who I think hit the big shot towards the end there, he was an underclassman playing on varsity. I think this was his third year.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Grant Gardella is another guy, a four, very versatile. He can shoot inside, outside, and kind of, you know, they're not a very tall team necessarily, right. But he's more of one of those guys who can run the floor. They got a lot of talent on the team. The more and more I thought about this, and college basketball and high school basketball is so different, but in that, I think that when you have a really good high school team, they're going to be the less talented teams, 99
talent
times out of 100.
Right.
College basketball, it's not necessarily the same way. We saw that, I think you could say Michigan State, Ohio State.
There's more parity when it comes to the talent.
Yeah, for sure. There's a better way to put that. And so, in my eyes, that just means Grand Ludge is better than I think myself and a lot of other people thought. It's not saying East Lansing is down. They did lose a lot of their guys from last year, and you know how tough it is to go through their division. I mean, shoot, they with their that win streak, you get into the postseason, it's as tough as it gets. Mm-hmm. And they got guys that are filling the holes, and you got to feel as confident as when you got Steve Inmore as your coach. At least in this area, you can't have a better coach, as far as I'm concerned. To get a team restarted, he can't even say restarted because you still got Brandon Johnson, you still got all these talented people. So, not to compare it again to Michigan State, but I mean Tom Izzo said it the other day. Not that they need, I wouldn't expect a team like his to need humbling. That's not what I mean. But a team that's been winning for so long, Tom Izzo said something along the lines of every team needs a kick in the butt, whether it comes from coaching or from, he said embarrassment, referring to the Ohio State game. There's no embarrassment from the team or from the game, high school game last night. But, I bet Steve would say, a loss can provide a lot of positives for them going forward, right?
This could be a point where they look at, as the weeks go by here in the boys basketball season, they will look back at this loss and how they respond to this could really speak to a lot of their character moving forward. I think this could serve as a lot of motivation, I think, Zach, as you just said.
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure what the date is, but when they play at Grand Ledge, that's a game you'll want to circle on the calendar for sure.
I'm going to be in the gym for that
one. Yeah, I sure will too.
I can't miss that one, right? So when you look at the other teams in the area here in Michigan, as far as boys basketball is concerned, I mean, which teams have really impressed you so far, Zach?
Aside from some of the, I think Holt looks good at a lot of times, which is cool to see considering they've got the new coach there. I mean, he's not a new coach, but he's new in terms of, it's not a Matt Essel team anymore. It's Zwick. That's Coach Zwick is down there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and it's relative to their class because, I don't know, maybe they could stand up against some of the bigger schools, but Olivet is, to me, a fantastic team. They've got two guys up in the front, Nick Jungle and Ryan Wallenberg, who are, I think, both at least 6'6". One of them might be 6'8".
Wow.
Guys. Yeah, but and usually when, at least, you can see a team that has that kind of front court talent is they kind of revolve around that, and that's their strength, and you can beat them by, exposing those kind of weaknesses. But they're so well-rounded. They've got, a very, very, very good point guard. I think he's an underclassman, actually. I could be wrong.
Okay.
and some good outside shooters and guys that handle the ball. I just watched them beat a really talented Lansing Christian team last week, and then they went out and beat Perry last night, which was
57-48. I'm seeing here,
and that's a big GLAC conference victory for them, and I believe they're undefeated still. I think they're 8-0.
Yeah, I don't think they've lost 7-0. Yet. And I'm seeing her last night when it comes to the stats. Ryan Wallenberg,
yeah,
he led the Eagles to that Glack victory over Perry, 19 points, 8 boards for him, and also Nick Jungle.
Yep,
I like that
last
name.
He's the other front court guy. Yeah,
yeah, snagged 15 boards, 8 points for Olivet. So Olivet is a team to keep a look on.
They're fun. They're interesting and they're fun to watch too. I watched these. Like I said, I've seen them twice this year, but against Lansing Christian. And those big guys can handle the ball too. I watched Jungle bring the ball all the way up the court. He sliced through the lane and he threw it off the backboard to Wallenberg, who tipped it in. And, he couldn't quite throw it down. But
wow,
yeah. So they got some studs there. They got some athleticism, and that's definitely a team. If you're just kind of a casual high school fan that want to go see a local team play, I would definitely recommend them for sure.
Check out Olivet, folks. Okay, as far as girls basketball goes, and I saw Williamston last night, a big loss. Maddie Waters went down. I know she was going to have her knee evaluated this morning. Don't know if there's an update on that.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah, that's a big loss. But I know Williamson, one of the best teams in the area. Just kind of give us a brief synopsis of what the local landscape of girls' hoops look like.
Yeah, what I said, and it is hard, to, if you're trying to be an accurate type of, you know, not analyst, but if you're trying to, you know, talk about the landscape of high school basketball, it is tough going from year to year. But what I said when preseason is the three teams that I was watching are, you know, the ones you would expect, Williamston, East Lansing, and Pomona Westphalia. And, you know, surprise, they're all doing very, very, very well.
Yes, they are.
You know, boy, what a, we're hoping like heck that, that Maddie's okay, because that could drastically change. You know, they're not a one player team by any means.
Not at all. Right.
But when you have
Maddie is the engine.
Man,
to that
when
team.
You have a player like that, you can't lose a player like that. And
right.
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know so much about the depth of Williamston. I know they've always seemed to have someone who can step up and go. But it's, I feel like whenever I look at their roster, they've got 9 or 10 girls on their team, and I don't know if that's by design or what it is. But right. You know, you lose someone, and it might be tough to fill in, let alone a future D1 athlete. So. You know, we're hoping that everything's good there, or at least, you know, it's not a long-term thing. Maybe you can get back into it, because, you know, that's another thing. A lot of people said, as far as local teams, they've got the best chance to go to the end here.
They're talented from top to bottom. You know, I've watched them, and man, and Maddie's fun to watch. But like you said, they're not a one-woman team. They have so many different components that speak to the success of Williamston, but we just have to wait on the update for that, right? All right, we just have under 1 minute here, Zach. Just remind our listeners how they can check out your work and the work of your sports team at WILX TV 10.
Yeah, we just fired up the Sports Blitz again. We kind of take a 3-4 week hiatus between you know, when football kind of wraps up, and then when basketball gets going in the new year, just kind of how it's structured. So
right.
we've had a couple shows now, and we'll do it again this Friday all the way until the end, and that's at about 11:15 on WILX, which is the local NBC station.
All right, my man Zach Berridge, always bringing the heat. Appreciate it. All right,
dude. Thanks, so.
Yes, sir. All right, let's hit. That's it. That's all she wrote. We'll be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be easy, people.